Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You're killing us. Just thought I'd point that out.
I wasn't the only one to admit that, though.
What, that you're killing us?
Well, that and the fact that I didn't know about the supplemental draft thing.
Oh, for goodness sake, get yourself together, will you? Come on, you're doing a sports show. You're doing a sports show. Come on. You're killing us. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it all up every step of the way. It's one-stop vehicle shopping, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Well, one day you're sitting there and they're telling you that they're vacating all their football wins for 4 years. The next day, they're telling you that the former basketball coach is getting a 10-day suspension. And then, out of nowhere, you win a college baseball national championship. Welcome to LSU.
The 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss! And all is right in the world! Tigers win! Tigers win! The national championship is headed back to Baton Rouge. The dogpile begins left of the mound. A promise made and a promise kept by Tiger head coach Jay Johnson just over 2 years ago. Said, I'm here to get LSU to Omaha and back on top of the college baseball world. And after an 18-4 victory here tonight, he has done just that.
Excuse me while I shed a tear. All right.
Why is everything about LSU so nauseating? Even the announcer is nauseating.
He's broadcasting to their fans. Come on.
All is right in the world? Come on.
Look, who is he broadcasting to?
I get it, but at the same time, you got to know what's happening in with history right now.
Excuse me. Your broadcaster doesn't know if it's a home run.
Well, that's true, but, you know.
Okay, God.
My broadcaster's 84 years old.
Okay.
This guy's young enough to know what's going on around this school right now.
Okay. And yours screams out at the end. All right. That's his signature. It's fine. Just, he's broadcasting to people in New Orleans and Baton Rouge and Lafayette and Shreveport. He is not broadcasting to you.
Yeah, they're a delusional fan base down there.
I'm just saying he is not broadcasting to you.
No, I get it. It's just, like, pay attention to what's happened lately.
Look, he is...
Know your place, so to speak.
Broadcasting to you. He is broadcasting to them. Hey, it has not been an easy time. They won the national championship in women's basketball, but the men's basketball thing is a big problem. Now, Will Wade is now at McNeese State. He's going to serve his 10-game suspension there. They stripped Les Miles of 4 years' worth of victories and the LSU football program. And this guy was, he was not the play-by-play guy for that, by the way. When Les Miles was there, he was not. He was there for the national championship with Ed Orgeron and Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and those guys. I think it was his first year doing it, I think. But he's not broadcasting to you. He's broadcasting to people in Shreveport, Lafayette, Monroe, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Biloxi, Mississippi? I mean, that's who he's talking to. I mean, you could have used the national one with Carl Ravage.
I guess I could have. I was running a little bit behind, so this is the, I thought it'd be cool. Just let me just get the one from the college itself, not thinking.
Which is fine. But you can't be critical of somebody that he's not talking to you. You think he's out there like, huh, I think I'll do this and really tick off the Yankee fans. I mean, do you think that was the goal when he woke up that day?
No. I can definitely say no on that one.
I mean, you'll be at a point, some point in your career, where you are broadcasting for a team. Okay? Just like the Hershey Bears one. We played the Hershey Bears one, right? Okay. Was it over the top? Sure. Right? But, I mean, I could care less if the Hershey Bears won or not. Okay? It's, you know, it's,
I actually thought that was a great call. I'm not a Bears fan.
It was good. It was, you know, it was a little Dave Michigan-ish. Another former Hershey Bears announcer. And when the Lightning win a Stanley Cup, it's like, it's a cornucopia of words.
Well, yeah, I mean, that goes without saying.
At a high volume.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not enamored with that guy either, but that's his style, so I'm not going to get on him for that.
But, he is not talking to you. He is talking to Tampa Bay Lightning fans. They love him. This guy, they love him down there. Right? He just made a championship call. He's excited. Okay? And you got to remember, too, what the culture is of each school. We are very much in the Northeast corner where there's not as much provincialism. We all know Scott Fransky wants the Phillies to win. Scott Fransky does not make that call, right? But Scott Fransky has his own way of doing it. It's exciting. Bedlam at the Bank. Simple, to the point, captures the moment in relatively few words. It's different. The way Merrill does a football game is going to be different than the way Scott Howard does Georgia football, where he always talks about we and us all the time. It's just the provincialism of it. Can't get too picky on that stuff. Amanda Renner is interviewing Keegan Bradley after the Travelers. I read about this. I didn't see this. And she said, you know, about winning in your hometown or home area, whatever. He's not from Connecticut. He's from Vermont. It's like, oh, for God's sakes. Where do we find these critics? Where? Usually it's Twitter or Instagram, whatever. Okay? There's one PGA tournament in New England. If you understand the culture of New England, okay, which obviously I do, I grew up there. Yes, is Connecticut different from Vermont? Is it different from Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Maine? Yes. But when the Red Sox, for example, won the World Series, that trophy went to all six New England states because they felt like it was a New England championship. It's always been looked at like that. The Eastern States Exposition, which is the eighth largest fair in the country, is a New England States Exposition. They all come together to do it, so it's like the State Fair of New England. And so you have people who don't understand the culture, how, you know, what the thought process is, criticizing stuff like that. Right? I'm not going to criticize. This guy's from a different sports culture than the Northeast. The Southern sports culture is different than ours here, and I understand that. Now, this guy I don't know. I've never met him. He was not the play-by-play guy when Penn State played and beat LSU in the Citrus Bowl. It was the previous one, so I don't know this guy. And when LSU played Penn State in basketball a couple of years ago down in the tournament in Destin, I didn't do it. I was doing the Michigan State football game. So I've never met him. I don't know him. But it's a different culture. And because it doesn't match up with yours, you get angry about it. A lot of things make you angry.
The Southern fan base in general is definitely very different from up here in the Northeast.
Well, but they're very passionate. They're very passionate. There's no getting around it. The South is college sports are, for the most part, more popular than professional sports there. Because it goes back to the point I made earlier in the show when I was talking about Saudi money. Hey, we're going to get everybody, you know, we're going to start our own league. We're going to get the biggest stars in the world, the whole thing. But it's not going to replace how people feel about Tottenham. It's not going to replace how they feel about Chelsea or Liverpool or Arsenal. It's not, right? Because those are deep-seated fan bases. Just like when the Tampa Bay Rays play the Yankees, the highest percentage of the crowd are Yankee fans. They grew up Yankee fans. They moved down there. The Yankees come to town. They are not Rays fans. Just because you put a team there doesn't mean you can ingrain the team into the culture of the area. Same thing with this. They're throwing pro teams down there left and right, you know, because that's where the population has gone to. And so, you know, you've got the Atlanta Falcons, but who's more popular? Georgia. Right? You've got the New Orleans Saints. Who's more popular? LSU. Now, are the Tennessee Titans more popular than Vanderbilt? Yes. But are they as popular as the University of Tennessee when the University of Tennessee is playing well? No. Even though the Titans have done a good job establishing themselves, just like the Nashville Predators have. Nashville's a really good market. I mean, they will get a Major League Baseball expansion team. I mean, it's a really good sports market, and there's a lot of things going for it. But, you know, there is a deep-seated culture that leans toward college sports down there, including college baseball. College baseball in the SEC is very popular. It doesn't make, you know, it always love with the, well, you know, and the money. Money what? They lose money, believe me. it's like people have to understand, you lose money. Doing it, but baseball's popular down there. You know, I've seen some of the ballparks down there; they're beautiful. But he's broadcasting that moment to the fans of LSU, not to some Yankee fan who's ticked off that Aaron Judge is never coming back again.
Well, that's another topic, but yes.
Thought he did a nice look. He made a great, you know, he made a great call for their fans. What the heck? Someday you will be a team announcer, and you will have that moment. And when that moment comes, I'm sure that you will rise to it. And you're going to have some knucklehead on some talk show saying, "Did you hear that guy?" Right. You know, and it's usually going to be some guy that can't do your job that's going to say it. But we'll tell everybody, hey, I can do the job better than he can. Yay. If that's true, why don't I hear you making that call?
Oh, by almighty!
How come you're sitting on the couch next to me telling me about it? So we'll check you off as nauseated?
Yeah. Just a little bit.
I don't understand it. You're in the business. Don't you have any sympathy for it?
I mean, for him, yeah, but I just think he's in... it's an unusual circumstance. It's a tough spot to be in. I can appreciate that. But I think you also have to know that.
But it might be...
It's probably easier for me said than done because, again, I've done games, and I've done games for teams, but I'm not in his particular spot. So I'm not around the team and the fan base and all that either.
This call may have been around the fact that Florida won the night before 22-2.
It could be, yeah. I mean, because you're definitely right by the fact, because I speak from experience, that just from doing Selins Grove basketball, for an example, that as you are around the team, you're also around the fans and the atmosphere, so you kind of know the mindset going in, and I definitely know that it has reflected in my calls sometimes. So if that's what it is, then okay, but it's hard for me to say because I'm not there.
And I think
to try to be a little fair about it.
And I'm wondering if all right with the world, because they turned the script in 24 hours.
It could be that. I didn't realize they got nailed earlier in the game.
They got blasted the night before. They won the first game. Like, okay, and it was just a normal game.
Right.
Right? Then the second game looked like the Angels and the Rockies. Okay? Then the third game looked like the Angels and Rockies in reverse.
So I'll cut him some slack a little bit with that part of the call.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? Hey, it's okay. We all do this. You know, and something I do tell my broadcasting class, don't script it. Don't script it. Said, have it be natural and from the heart, and if it's memorable, it sticks forever. If the call is eh, people are so happy that they won, they don't care if it's eh. I said, but don't script it, because then it sounds scripted. You don't want it to sound scripted, like you wrote it and you've got the piece of paper in front of you. So just let it happen naturally. And if you're lucky, the call matches the moment. We'll take a break. We'll get Matt a nice ice cold drink. Settle it down a little bit.
I told you the afternoon was young.
I'm starting to look at the clock. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door, and some things that don't. Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
Why do I sense if you taught a broadcasting class, everybody would flunk?
Nah, that wouldn't happen.
D minus? Name, image, and likeness. is going to be the topic over and over and over again. People are always talking about name, image, and likeness. And I got that. And that's the way it is. What's interesting is that the NCAA today put out something to schools saying you actually can violate rules on name, image, and likeness even if you're following the state law. Really? It's incredible. If you're following the state law, you... Okay? They say there's a new NCAA guideline that conflicts with some state laws over NIL deals. Now, look, more and more schools are starting to get more directly involved, trying to help their athletes make money from NIL. And believe it or not, some of that help happened to be NCAA violations. Oh, boy.
This is a whole new level of low, I think, for the NCAA.
Look, if they would just show some background, show some backbone and put out some rules and regulation governing it, have the schools sign it, and then go from there, you wouldn't have this mess. But, you know, but they won't do it. They're afraid of litigation all the time.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
If you were teaching a class, would you just do the grades on the first day and just play it out?
No, I would not do that. Yeah.
You all have Fs.
That's a little out of line.
Yeah, but then you'd be at the end of the semester and you still give them all Fs and said, I should have done that in the first day.
No, because see, I had a teacher that did something kind of similar to start every quarter when I was in high school, and I hated that. We all hated that, so I would not do that to any of my prospective students that I might have someday.
I've seen people lose 4.0s because they had an instructor saying, nobody's perfect, nobody gets an A.
Yeah, that's stupid.
You know, you sit there and go, really? I mean, who woke up and made you king?
Exactly right.
I mean, come on. Enough's enough. I see stories like that, and I shake my head and go, what is wrong with you? Why are you so miserable in life? Right? Yeah, it's your job to make, you know, your job is to make them better. That is actually your job, to make them better. Now, they have to go out and make themselves better, but you have to give them every slice of advice to make them better. I always tell them that's the goal in class all the time. Okay, at the end of 3 months or 3.5 months, whatever it happens to be, I said, I want each one of you to be better than the day we started. And maybe it'll be put you on the path to getting a job. That's pretty simple. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. A Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a service department that's just outstanding. They take care of the life of the vehicle. So when you're ready to trade in, it's in great shape because you're going to buy another SMC vehicle. It's all Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, so let's get back to name, image, and likeness. There are new NCAA guidelines, and they actually directly conflict with some state laws that are already in effect or laws that are about to go in effect starting on Sunday, because Sunday is July 1. They sent a letter to all the schools this afternoon, and Stan Wilcox is the NCAA Executive Director for Regulatory Affairs. And he wrote that even if a state law allows some specific types of NIL activities, schools could be punished by the NCAA for pursuing them. So several states have passed laws that allow for fundraising groups that are legally separate yet closely partnered with the universities to start paying athletes for NIL endorsements. So let's start with Texas. Texas, which has dramatically liberalized their laws. Remember, Quinn Ewers went to Ohio. Excuse me, he went to Ohio State because Ohio State's law allowed him to get NIL money as a reclassified player. Didn't play his senior year of high school, went to Ohio State instead. All right. Well, they changed that law, and now it's wide open. So in Texas, they have a law that's about to go into effect this weekend that would allow fundraising from the Longhorn Foundation, or for Texas A&M, it would be the 12th Man Foundation. And, of course, they support the athletic departments at Texas and Texas A&M, respectively, to raise money for NIL deals. And these same laws have been passed in Oklahoma and also in Arkansas. Well, the NCAA said today that schools are responsible for making sure these fundraising organizations do not pay athletes for NIL deals. So what does the new law in Texas mean? The one that goes into effect at midnight on Saturday. It's providing opportunities to fans who donate to these funds. So if you donate, you could maybe get better tickets at home games, or you might be able to get preferred access for tickets to a bowl game or a postseason game. And according to the NCAA, you can't do that. It is a violation. So now Texas and Texas A&M have to put out guidelines as to how to go about this. And Texas A&M had actually planned on giving the benefit before the summer was out, because the Texas law allows it. And he said plain and simple, he said, guess what? The state law is going to govern how we do business. He said, we'll continue to communicate with the NCAA in a variety of matters, but in terms of this, the state law will reign. And now you're going to have a line drawn in the sand. Wilcox said that boosters, including collectives, are not allowed to meet with recruits to discuss potential NIL opportunities in order to encourage them to attend a particular school. NIL deals can't include clauses that require an athlete to attend a particular school or live in a particular geographic area. And finally, event sponsors cannot pay an NIL collective, which in turn then pays athletes as part of a contract for a team to participate in an event. Some schools, for example, have signed contracts with midseason basketball tournaments that include a promise from the tournament organizer to donate thousands of dollars to the collective group associated with the school. And believe me, football game sponsors have been looking to do the same thing, so it's not, that's not out of the realm. But this is what's going on right now. What a mess. It's a mess. And it's a mess In part because the NCAA would not take a stand on it. They fear litigation so much. Now, I don't blame them for fearing litigation, because the NCAA is O for life in litigation. Everyone always discusses, and of course, there's going to be several Supreme Court rulings coming down here in the next couple of days, because the end of the Supreme Court term is coming up at the end of the week. And you're going to see a lot of 5-4, maybe 6-3 votes. What does it tell you that when the NCAA finally had a court case there, it was 9-0? When it comes to this stuff, they're just not very good at it. You have to give the NCAA credit. They are the only ones that can unite Elena Kagan, Amy Coney Barrett, Samuel Alito, and Sonia Sotomayor. You have to give them credit. No, I mean, nobody else has the ability to do that. I'm impressed. But again, you have state laws that are trying to open up the doors, liberalize it more, and the NCAA is saying, no, you may be committing a violation. And Ross Bjork of Texas A&M is basically throwing the gauntlet down, saying, hey, state law says we can do it, we're doing it. You want to come after us? Come after us. Because guess what? It'll end up in court, and you know what's going to happen in court? The same thing that always happens to the NCAA in court. They will lose. They will cite amateurism, amateur models. They'll talk about the ivory tower and the whole thing. And a judge and a jury will sit there and go, just please stop talking. Please stop talking. That's what happens every time. I'll never forget when the O'Bannon case went before them. Now, O'Bannon is the one that deals with the EA Sports game. It's the Alston case that the Supreme Court ruled 9-0 on, all right? And that case was about, hey, can we provide you, I mean, simply what the Alston case was about, can we provide you an iPad for your academic work? Can we provide, you know, to do, and that's what it was about. And it was in the majority writing, of which 9-0, there was no minority writing, all right? That Brett Kavanaugh said, hey, look, you don't start changing some things, guess what? You are not going to win. And that's what brought all of this about. Well, in the O'Bannon case, it was about name, image, and likeness, and him being on the cover of it and not being compensated for it, right? And the entire, we were on here following this closely. And for those listening that day, you remember me saying this. Mark Emmert got on the witness stand and swung the whole thing in O'Bannon's direction, because he got up there and instead of just saying, hey, look, this is what we did with the money. We put it into women's sports, women's soccer, women's tennis, women's basketball, you know, because it's expensive. While they bring in some revenue, their expenses are exponentially higher than the revenue they bring in. They lose money. We have to make up for it. This is a way to make up for it. Men's soccer, baseball, things like that. Nope. Didn't do that. No. Who would want to do that? Nope. Didn't do it. Got up there and talked about the education mission, ivory tower, and just did it in such a way where you could just see, like, the judge was, like, nodding off, like, well, what's he talking about here? And shockingly lost. And the second he testified, I knew they lost. The second he testified, I knew they lost. Like, okay, they're done. And it's going to be the same with this. They'll do the same thing. They'll lose again. So Ross Bjork is basically looking at them, the athletic director of Texas A&M, saying, go ahead. Texas State law trumps your rules. We're done. I mean, they're just going to flat out challenge them. They're flat out going to challenge them. and the NCAA will not win. And I'm confident saying that because I'm trying to remember any point in my lifetime where they won.
Plus, they're the ones that asked for help in the first place at the federal level. Oh, and the states just started doing their own thing. So it's they can just use that. This is easy. It's case closed.
They aren't just asking for help from the federal level. They're begging
exactly.
for help from the federal level. They're begging for it.
This is probably the easiest cases that lawyers are going to have if they come up with this.
Please bail us out. We don't want to make a decision because we will end up in court. We are afraid of litigation. Bail us out. I mean, they're begging them. They're begging the federal government to, you know, like, put a federal law together, unify everything. That way, you know, we don't have to make a decision that will end up in court.
Okay.
We'll take a break. We'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Trillo teaching a broadcasting class. A lot of kids, I don't understand, Mr. Jones, why I flunked. I mean, I turned in all the projects. The EL said he was no good, and I was in the hall of stinkage. What does that mean? Like, I don't know. Like, he's got a lot of pent-up anger. You know. The older one with a mini bike ran over the younger one. It's just, I don't know. Another bad day. Just don't know. So let's look back on your show today. Let's see. You ripped the Saudi Arabians. You ripped the NCAA. You ripped another broadcaster. I'm trying to think if you said anything positive.
Did I rip Saudi Arabia today? I've ripped them in the past, but I don't know if I ripped them today.
That's okay. It's just I'm trying to think if you said anything positive. No. Called John Sterling old. Let's see.
I'll just state in facts. He's still hanging in there, but, you know, I acknowledge that he's not quite as sharp, shall we say.
It's sad. I mean, everything. Has to be the positive beacon of light. Which, on this show, isn't difficult to do.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So, I'm actually going to be with you in studio tomorrow.
That's right. I'm looking forward to it.
And there's a reason why I'm going to be there. I have to go to Hazleton tomorrow night to speak. It's actually in Drums. And at the golf club there. And so in order to get there on time, it's going to be easier for me to go to the station, broadcast the show from there, and then leave from there and just continue my trip. We'll do that. And so I'll be in the studio with Matt and those guys tomorrow. I believe they've talked about Mark and Mark's situation, right?
Yes, we'll have more to come on Friday's show on everything that's happening there. Both on right. Friday's On the Mark and Friday of this show too.
Right. We'll talk about that on Friday. Well, I mean, but, you know, but Mark's, I think it was Mark's wife, I think, put it out on Facebook.
She did, yes.
Like that. So, yeah. Because I did see it. Oh, good, dogs fighting. That's fabulous. That's just great. Welcome to the zoo. But we'll talk more about that on Friday, heading into the 4th of July weekend. So, it's a. We got a big fireworks display coming up here on the 4th of July weekend, too. The 4th Fest celebration. It's going to be the largest in Pennsylvania. Larger than Pennsylvania, larger than Pittsburgh. How about that? Now, there'll be others throughout the course of the valley. I know that would be great, too, but 4th Fest here is going to be, I mean, and the 4th of July is, it's a four-day weekend. I know, you know, you and I are working Monday. In fact, I even have a game on the 4th of July. Yeah, I've got a game on the 3rd of July, and there's a 20-minute fireworks display after that game here. And then I get a game in the 4th, and I was kidding around with Joe Putnam, and I said, the game's at 1:05. I said, they shooting out fireworks when the game's over? I said, 4 in the afternoon, nobody's going to be able to see it.
Yeah, I guess they, I don't know.
No, but they're not going to. I think too highly of Gabe Sinicropi. So.
Oh, so that's in Williamsport.
Well, that's the 4th of July game.
Okay.
It's at 1:05.
Gotcha.
3rd of July is at, the Spikes will be at home. It's going to be a 20-minute fireworks display after that. Then the 4th Fest will be on the 4th of July here, and it's going to be about an hour's worth. I mean, they got shells firing all over the place. I mean, it's, you know, it's going to look like the Suits place on Arbor Day.
S-U-I-T, that spells Suta!
This, by the way, is National Ice Cream Day, right?
Sounds about right.
This is a golden opportunity for you to take little Luke and little Mark out and get them ice cream. And then you can yell at them for having a dribble on their shirts.
No, I'd probably be yelling at them for not staying in one place while Daddy's trying to order said ice cream.
That I can see.
Meanwhile, well, Luke's not bad. Mark, on the other hand, much different story.
Hey, let me put it this way. All right. Here's Mr. Cotrillo again. I can hear him yelling. God, he's just like that in the show. Well, to all of you out there, let me give you all a piece of advice. Don't do anything stupid tonight. He'll talk about you tomorrow.
That's right.
In the studio tomorrow, looking forward to being there with all of our friends and family at Sunbury Broadcasting as we make a pit stop on the way to Hazleton. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.